From the studios of Boise State Public Radio, I'm Gemma Gaudette. You're listening to Idaho Matters. Last week, Idaho Governor Brad Little said he would not be taking part in a debate with his challengers in the November election. Now, Little said the people of Idaho already know his track record. Both of Idaho's U.S. representatives, Mike Simpson and Russ Fulcher, also said they will not take part in a 30-year tradition of debate on Idaho Public Television. Joining us now is host of Idaho Reports on Idaho Public Television, Melissa Davlin. She's also the host and producer of Idaho Debates. Melissa, really appreciate you coming on the show today.
Thanks for having me, Gemma.
Okay, so let's start with the governor. What did he say when he turned down a chance to debate his challengers on Idaho Public Television? And we should note, this is a decades-long tradition.
He said about the same thing that he said in the primary, which is he is confident the people of Idaho know, quote, his strong track record of cutting taxes for families and businesses and directing historic investments to Idaho's children's roads and critical water projects. So this is pretty similar to his reasons for not debating in the primary when, of course, he faced a challenge from Lieutenant Governor Janice McGeehan.
And Melissa, are we accurate in saying this is the first time in what, I think more than 30 years, that a sitting governor has refused to debate?
I tried to confirm that. I can't find all of the Idaho Debates tapes and coverage from the last 30 years, but I do know that it is very rare for a sitting governor in Idaho to turn down a chance to debate in either the primary or the general. Past governors in my time here have threatened to turn down a debate. And we've seen a few other people who have declined to debate over the years. But this is unprecedented, especially because Governor Little has debated before. First, when he was lieutenant governor candidate and the incumbent lieutenant governor. And then when he was running for governor in 2018, he debated in the primary and the general elections multiple times.
And what about Little's challengers? Were they willing to debate?
They were. Ammon Bundy said that he would debate even if the incumbent governor was not there. Democratic challenger Stephen Height said that he didn't want to debate just Ammon Bundy and give a microphone to extremism, as he put it, when he talked to Betsy Russell of the Idaho Press. But he was willing to debate if Governor Little was there. So that was kind of a contingent acceptance.
Any chance that Governor Little will come back and say, all right, I'll debate? And I ask that question because there is fallout in the sense of, I think, average Idahoans, frankly, being upset that for the second time in a few months, he is refusing to debate. And the argument that his track record is not debatable is frankly false. You're a politician. People are supposed to be able to question.
You know, I'd never say never, but I would be shocked if he does change his mind. I'm certainly not counting on it. And honestly, if he changes his mind, we'll make it happen. But I am not, that's not in the realm of my possibilities right now, frankly.
And both Representatives Simpson and Fulcher, as I said in the beginning, refused to debate this fall as well. What reasons did they give for not debating?
You know, they didn't really give reasons. They politely declined. And it's unfortunate. Congressman Simpson has long participated in the debates, both in primaries and general elections. This is a new development with him, and it's disappointing because especially with our DC, with our congressional delegation, this really is a fantastic chance for Idaho media and Idaho viewers to really hear directly from their members of Congress. And so that's something that moving forward in the future, we at the Idaho Debates are really committed to sitting down with all sorts of stakeholders and trying to figure out if there's a way that we can improve our own process to bring more people back to the table. And so that's something that we're going to be talking about over, you know, the coming months and years once the dust settles from this election, because we know this is a nationwide trend where more and more people are turning down debates. And it's not something that we just want to accept as a foregone conclusion without really fighting to save what we think is a fantastic opportunity for voters to hear directly from incumbents and candidates both.
Has anyone else refused to debate this fall?
Democratic treasurer candidate Deborah Silver declined to debate. She is challenging current treasurer Julie Ellsworth. And she initially wasn't going to be on the ballot, but then the original candidate for the Democrats withdrew back in June. And so Deborah Silver is going to be on the ballot, but she declined to debate. And then we had multiple Democratic candidates not respond to our request to submit materials.
So tell us a little bit about Idaho Debates, Melissa. How long has it been around, and who all is involved in this?
Well, the Idaho Debates have been around for decades, and we have partners. You know, it airs on Idaho Public Television, but our partners with the Idaho Press Club, the University of Idaho, McClure Center, the Boise State Public Policy Center, and Idaho State University, as well as the League of Women Voters Education Fund, we work together to really ensure a nonpartisan educational debate process to make sure that we're getting the best information for Idaho voters before the elections. And so it's a process that has evolved slightly over the years, you know, in the almost 10 years that, well, more than 10 years now that I've been involved as a panelist and then as the moderator. It's something that we're constantly looking at improving, but ultimately the goal is the same, to bring the best possible information and education directly to the voters.
So when we talk about candidates refusing to debate, is this a new trend, Melissa, or is it something that you've seen in the past, but maybe just not at this level with politicians with this type of name recognition and the positions that they hold?
Not at this level, certainly. In the past, we have had, you know, big name politicians decline. Senator Jim Risch has not always participated in our debates, for example, whether he was running for Senate or other office. And so this certainly isn't the first time, but as far as it being a trend with more and more people turning us down, that we're seeing that not just in Idaho. I really have to emphasize this. This is a nationwide mm-hmm. trend that we're seeing. But I also want to say that we have four really fantastic debates lined up within races that are pretty exciting, like the attorney general's race, superintendent of public instruction, lieutenant governor, U.S. Senate. This is the first time in at least 12 years that Mike Crapo is debating. That's a pretty exciting thing. And so I know people are disappointed, and for good reason, about the governor and our congressman not debating, but we have four fantastic debates that are going to be broadcast statewide. And that's something that we're thrilled about.
And when will those take place, Melissa?
Starting on October 3rd with the Attorney General's debate at 8 p.m. Mountain Time, 7 p.m. Pacific Time. The full schedule is at idahoptv.org/Idaho Reports. We will also be re-airing the debates for the first time with Spanish closed captioning, which that's another development that we're really excited about. We're committed to bringing as much information as possible to viewers all across Idaho, including now our Spanish-speaking population. So once again, that full schedule is at idahoptv.org.
And before I let you go, I know for the primary election, you tried to get GOP Lieutenant Governor candidate Priscilla Giddings to debate, and she said she would if she could approve the list of questions and also the list
not
of
questions,
reporters.
The list of reporters.
Yeah. Okay, the list of reporters. That didn't happen. She didn't debate. So how do you pick your panelists for this? And we should be clear, this is something that you politicians don't get to decide who gets to ask the questions.
Our partners at the Idaho Press Club, and I, you know, full disclosure, I am also the vice president of the Idaho Press Club, but this is a task that the president of the club, Betsy Russell, works on. She picks journalists who actively cover politics and often in the beats that are associated with these offices. So, you know, don't be surprised if an education reporter is on the superintendent of public instruction panel. But these are all journalists who are members of the Idaho Press Club. And many of them are based in Boise, but we also try to get reporters from Lewiston, Idaho Falls, all across the state.
All right. Melissa, thanks so much for joining us today and talking with us about this, and looking forward to those four debates that will be happening.
Hey, thank you so much, Gemma.
Absolutely. We've been talking with Melissa Davlin, the host and producer of Idaho Debates on Idaho Public Television, talking about candidates refusing to debate before the November election. We will put a link to the debates that are going to happen on our website, BoiseStatePublicRadio.org. Before the break, we heard about Idaho Governor Brad Little, as well as other candidates, refusing to debate before the November election. Now, this same thing happened in the spring with Idaho's primary election. So is Idaho part of a national trend? And what does it mean for voters when candidates won't debate? To answer these questions, we've asked Jacqueline Kettler, Associate Professor of Political Science at Boise State University, to come back on the show and answer those questions for us. Jacqueline, it's always good to have you here.
Thanks for having me. Happy to be here.
So let's start local. Governor Little and our two incumbent House members refused to debate. So what was your first reaction when you heard this news?
I mean, it's unfortunate, right? Because debates serve some important informational and educational components for voters, but also just kind of the broader community. So it's really unfortunate when these debates don't happen and we don't get attention and those discussions on, I mean, particularly state and local issues.
And Little said the people of Idaho already know his track record, so he doesn't need to debate. That could be up for debate. Do you believe he should be debating, and will this help or hurt his campaign?
Well, I think those are some really great questions. I think one, without a debate, there's not that opportunity for questions and kind of follow-up questions to dive into, you know, what has been happening in terms of an incumbent's record, but also pushing them a little bit to defend elements or explain decisions. And there have been some controversial decisions during Little's tenure for the past 4 years. And so voters might be interested in learning more about his thought processes for those decisions. And it can also provide opportunities to kind of see different perspectives on an issue from other candidates.
And this happened back in the May primary, as we mentioned in our other segment, where the governor turned down the debate. This was the first time, we believe, in 30-some years that a sitting Idaho governor refused to debate. But Jacqueline, why is this happening now? I mean, is something changing or shifting?
I think that's an excellent question. And I think, I mean, as Melissa was saying, this is something we're seeing across the country. It's not just happening in Idaho. And so there's some broader questions about why candidates are not wanting to participate, some candidates not wanting to participate, mm-hmm. and whether it's the process, concerns about the structure or the format, this idea that you don't need to defend your record or explain it more, or just broader concerns about performance or giving a platform for other candidates. I think there's a lot of questions about why are candidates not willing to participate in what is usually considered a normal part of the election process.
And in fact, this year, the Republican National Committee said it would not take part in presidential debates. This is new. And why is something like this happening? I mean, we're talking presidential debates.
Right. It's really unclear what, for our next presidential election, what types of debates might happen, whether they happen. Right. And this raises a lot of concerns about voters' ability to have the information needed to assess candidates' qualifications, not just their issue positions and priorities, but also their style, their approach to how they might approach governing and being in an office and working with others. So there's a lot of concerns here, I think, as we look at these broader trends.
And a lot of candidates who are refusing to debate say they don't trust the news media or they don't trust the people setting up the debates. So where is this distrust coming from? Because it didn't just happen overnight.
Right. I think some of this distrust has been kind of building for a while. And we see this messaging, particularly among Republican candidates, but it's not solely among Republicans. But we are seeing a lot of Republican candidates raise concerns about bias in the media. And then when debates are, you know, like structured with the media running or being involved with them, raising concerns that the questions will be biased or the panelists will be biased. And so some of these kind of broader narratives about just whether or not the media has biases, particularly against the Republicans. And so coming into it, arguing that debates would not be fair for them.
Mm. So I want to be the devil's advocate here for a minute, Jacqueline. It's the information age. I mean, we can see any candidate at this point on Twitter, on YouTube, I mean, pretty much any social media platform, and we can watch them giving speeches. So why then do we need to see them in a debate format?
I mean, you're right. There's lots of other forms of information out there. I think debates, there's a couple great things about debates, one of which they are not scripted in the same way that, for example, answering questions for a candidate questionnaire or a television advertisement, right? There's an unscripted nature where you really, viewers get to see how candidates think about issues, what happens when they are questioned or they have to deal with follow-up questions or, are responding to another candidate. And so it's kind of a broader, there's a broader element here that's not just the answers, but also the style, the performance. And then the topics of discussion can also help. You know, again, there's so much focus in national politics, even in state and local politics. In debates, it's an opportunity to come back and really focus on issues of importance, for example, in Idaho, and to try to see what these candidates are going to do about it, what they think about those issues.
You know, critics and some candidates say debates can turn into spectacles, and then they turn that focus away from the issue. Is that a fair statement?
I think that there are a lot of questions on whether or not debates may increase civility, decrease civility, how they might contribute to polarization. There's some arguments that having more information may actually help decrease polarization, especially, or at least decrease incivility in politics if you see candidates behaving well with each other. But we know debates don't always go like that. But one thing that's kind of interesting that scholars have found is without more information on candidates, voters really rely on partisanship to vote. And so having more information may actually, encourage voters to evaluate candidates more broadly rather than just by voting by party.
I only have about a minute and a half left, Jacqueline. And some critics say debates favor incumbents. True or false?
I mean, I think that there can be ways that debates can favor incumbents and that incumbents come in being able to talk about their record, what they've been working on. But it can also be more risky to incumbents than challengers potentially, because challengers are just looking for an opportunity to increase their name recognition, maybe bring attention to some of their issues. So I think that it can kind of depend for incumbents on whether if there's a benefit or if there might be a little riskier.
So in a nutshell, very quickly, why do you believe debates are important to voters?
Well, I think having information about candidates' priorities and their qualifications is important for, holding our leaders accountable. And accountability is kind of a key role of voters in our democracy. And without that information, without that ability, ability to broadly evaluate candidates, it's hard to hold them accountable.
Right. And they all should be held accountable no matter where they fall on the spectrum. Jacqueline, always appreciate your time.
Of course. Happy to be here.
We've been talking with Jacqueline Kettler, Associate Professor of Political Science at Boise State University, about Governor Brad Little and other candidates dropping out of debates and why we're seeing a nationwide trend. We will, of course, have more of your questions and community concerns around voting, elections, and the ballot box in the coming weeks right here on Idaho Matters. So make sure you stay with us as well. Thanks for listening to this episode of Idaho Matters. And if you're a fan of the podcast, we hope you'll share it with a friend, or you can rate and review us wherever you're listening right now to help other people discover our program.